Today's Mishnah, Masechet Kelim, is Perek Chof Aleph Mishnah Beit. So yesterday we discussed the first of the machines of the Perek. That was a loom. Today we're going to discuss a plow. Now, actually, a plowshare is a rather complex device. And if we've got Calvin able to show us a picture of a plowshare, if not, we'll just sort of describe it. My bandwidth is low? Oh, there we go. Okay, so please look carefully at the picture, and what we have is really two very separate kind of devices. We have the part that connects the plowshare to the animals, which is basically the awl. The awl, remember, has, as we already discussed in the Gemara and Shabbos yesterday, the awl, this is a fancier awl than the one that we were discussing. So this awl is actually bent instead of being a straight piece of wood. And it goes around, as you'll see, the leather collar underneath. And it is connected with those lichayayin, which are the side pieces, and with the katrev, which is the pins that we were talking about yesterday. Now, attached to the awl is this long beam. This beam is called the avot. So it's a long beam, and that beam would just be sitting there dragging along the ground, except for the fact that it connects with a little clip, with a metal clip. It connects to the plow itself. Now, the plow is a bit more complicated. So what we do over here is we have a bent piece of wood that goes towards the ground a little bit. It has two holes in it at the rear end. The one that's all the way in the back holds what is basically a strong piece of wood that's attached to the actual Maharesha is a metal knife, very strong, well, not a knife, a blade, a very strong blade that's capable of cutting through the ground. And it also has, in the other hole, it has what you have on your outboard motor on a boat. It's got a little lever on it, which is called the yatsul, and that's attached to what is called the sword, because it's called the cherev, because since this cherev goes all the way down to the blade, so we view it as being one thing that's called the cherev, and you can turn the cherev from side to side. So obviously, if you see an area coming up that is going to be difficult, it may even break your blade, you turn it a little bit to the side, just like you would with your outboard motor if you're backing up into a bunch of weeds. So you would turn it from the side. You do exactly the same thing over here, except that you're guiding it from behind towards the front. That's the only difference. So now the question over here is, what things are considered to be connected to what? So let's assume that we've got a maharesha, which is tameh, and that's a serious metal kli that could certainly become tameh. So if you touch the awl that's attached to the animals, or you touch the katrav, which is the piece that keeps the awl there, or you touch the leather, the ayin, that is around the neck, which is there just to protect them from getting hurt by the awl, or you touch the avot itself, which is that big heavy beam, and even if you touch it while it's b'shas melacha, and remember that our klal was earlier, that pieces of a thing that are used b'shas melacha are connected, are all considered to be one kli, that's not true over here. Why? Because the connection over here is loose. It's not only a temporary connection, it's also a loose connection. As opposed to the case that we had before, let's say, of where you put a piece of wood into the axe top to use as a handle, over there, it's obviously not loose. The whole point is, you don't dare use it. If it's loose, you'll kill someone. But over here, you bedavka want it to be loose, and it needs to be easily removable and easily turnable and so on. So just holding it with this little clip is not considered to be a chibur. So because of that, if you touch any of the elements that are part of the animal's part of this deal, you're going to be tar, even if the yated, which means that the maharesha as a whole, was mekabel tuma. Now, on the other hand, if you touch the cherev, remember the cherev was the lever, well, not the lever, but the actual piece of wood that you turn with the lever that ends up being connected to the maharesha, to the yated itself, to the blade itself. So if you touched the cherev, which was the handle, or you touched the borech was the piece of wood that looks like a knee. We call it borech because it's bent. And that was the thing all the way at the end that came around and that held strongly the blade in place, as opposed to the cherev, which is there to be able to move the blade from side to side. So if you touch the berech, or you touch the yatzul, which is the lever that you use to steer it with, then it's all tummy. Now, the same thing would be true if you touch the ayin shel matecha. These are things that don't appear here in the picture. So if you touch, the ayin appears, that's the ring. If you touch the ayin shel matecha, if you touch the lechayayim, which we are talking about pieces of wood, you could see there, if you look at the bottom between the legs of the horses, you will see that the lechayayin come all the way down to the ground. The reason they come all the way down to the ground is because they give a little bit of loosening effect before the actual plow hits the ground. And that is useful because it breaks up the wood itself can break up hard pieces of ground that's gotten clods, like clods of earth. So it'll break it up, which will make the plow have an easier time of getting things ready for planting. So they do double duty, the horses. They move the lechayayin, which on the one hand are there to keep the pieces of the yoke together on the top, but they go all the way down to the ground, and you see they have that sharp end between the hooves. If he touches that, if he touches the o'aryan, which are the little pieces that are not shown here, but that they are after the plow, and that they go ahead and they are dragged behind the plow. So those are wooden ends that break up pieces that have been dislodged by the plow itself. All of those things are all one with the actual machareisha, which the plowshare itself, because of that, they are considered to be tummy. Okay, so in that case, it would be tummy. Rabbi Yehuda, he says that the lechayayim are actually tahor. They're not really part of the plow. Because that's a different thing that is done to make life easier for the plow, but they're certainly not essential for the act of plowing. And because of that, they're not considered to be mechuber permanently, and therefore, they're not going to be mekabel tuma either. Now we're going to be talking about machines that are saws. Now there's different types of saws, okay? There's what we use today. We use a bow saw, which has a very flexible blade. You put it into the two sides, screw it in, make it tight, and then you can actually use it in ways that other saws wouldn't be able to get things into. Now, the original bow saw, the way in which things were held together, if you could show us, please, a picture, Calvin, there. So they had a very cute way of holding things together. What they did is they had two pieces of wood, and in the bottom of the wood, there was a notch where you could put in exactly the same way, as you see, a modern bow saw is. But what kept the saw in place, the blade was kept in place with a string on top, which you could either tighten or loosen. And that would pull in the sides to make the blade stay in place. So there was like a what's called here the dowel, which is the sniff. So let's say you've got this blade, and now you're touching a tome blade, but you're touching the part that is the string on top. And can you become tome with that? Or suppose you touch the ama, which is what they call here the bridge in the picture that holds these handles together and allows you to tighten them by pulling it out. Or if you touch the snifim, and that is what's used to make the string tighter or looser. All of this is very similar to a guy who would be touching, let's say, in a press. A press, you've got a machbesh shel charash. So the carpenter's got a press over here, and usually a press has got a screw on top that allows you to press one piece of wood onto another, and you can tighten it or loosen it. So if you touch over there the boards, let's say in this case, what was tame? The actual screw which was the metal part, became tame. Or if you touched a kashtanit is something else. It's a loose handle that you use on an auger where you just slide it into the top. Can you give us a picture? So over there, that's a very loose connection. All of these kind of things, because they're both temporary and loose. Let us see the kashtanit. It's called kashtanit because it's shaped like a keshet. It's a bow, and you slip the screw part of the auger into it so that you could turn it from the top of the bow. Yeah, so as you can see, you just slip it in into the screw part of the auger, and therefore it's not considered to be mechuber because it's really not connected, and therefore you remain tar even though the metal part of the tool is tame. So it's the same yesod. Something that is not only temporary but is loose is not going to be metame. Reb Yehuda says this is even true if you were nogea b'malbein shamasor hagadol tahor. It's also true where you've got a very heavy kind of saw where two people will use the saw, right? So that's the Meser HaGadol. And sometimes 10 people will be needed to use this saw. In order to get a lot of people around it, what they do is they build a frame. And then you can have as many people sitting on this thing. You could have two people on the short sides. You could have four people on the long side. And the combined effort of all of these people can get this saw to cut through even an enormous thick trunk or something that's on its side. And that is also, however, considered to be temporary because it's not the thing that's left there all the time. We attach it when we need all of those people working. Now, what about a bow and arrow? So somebody who's nogea b'yeter uvakeshet. You touch the yeter, which is the string, or you touch the actual bow. And the arrow, in this case, the metal arrow, is tame. Even if you've got the arrow in there and it is stretched at this moment, it's pulled back and it's ready to be shot, he's still tar because it's not mechubar. And therefore, it's not considered to be one thing for Tuma. And there's another kind of vicious kind of arrow, which is used to trap moles. So what happens over here is as soon as the mole enters, he releases the arrow, which promptly shoots him through the head. Well, let's hope it's not too painful. Anyway, so in this case, a mitzodata eshut, a trap for a mole, is tar, again, even though it has in it, it's all wood, except it has that metal arrow that's in it, it's not considered to be a mechuber, because it's loose, it's meant to be shot out. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if it's actually under pressure at that moment, kozman shi mitucha, it is a chibur, because basically this whole thing has got to support tightly the arrow in order for it to be trigger happy when the mole comes in. That is considered to be a chibur. And if the arrow would be tummy and you would handle the trap, then that poor mole is now tummy. No. If you touch the trap, you are tummy. Okay, so basically the idea over here is anything that is mechuber permanently, or even if it's mechuber only b'shas melocha, but tightly, such as the hand of the Megera, which is absolutely necessary and tight. That's the whole point, is that should be tight. This is still referring back to the original bow saw over there. Of course, you're tame, because that is a chibur that it has to be tight in order to work. That was the yesod of all of the issues that we're talking about. The temporary nature of the chibur and the looseness, the extent of how tight it is or how loose it is, which we started discussing when we were talking about the parts of the plow. Okay, everybody, that concludes Hadron Aluch Perek, we finished the whole Perek now, I think, right? So Hadron Aluch Perek HaNogea.